The passage of God's Word that we read this evening is Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we read this in connection with Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The Word of God at Ephesians 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." We read the Scriptures that far. It's on the basis of that passage of God's Word and in accordance with all of God's Word that we have the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 1. Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, the first two questions and answers. Question 1 is, "What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life, it makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him." Second question, "How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily?" Three, the first, "How great my sins and miseries are." The second, "How I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries." And the third, "How I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the providence of God, we are up to Lord's Day 1 in the Heidelberg Catechism. And I say in the providence of God because I cannot think of a better portion of the Catechism that explains the Word of God to consider for a confession of faith than Lord's Day 1, especially in connection with what we read in Ephesians chapter 3. This is an appropriate, beautiful Word of God to consider the evening that these two young ladies made confession publicly of their faith. When they did that a few moments ago, they answered three questions. But the reality is that those three questions really could be summarized in one question and could be summarized very well with this question. What we could have done very simply tonight was ask Macy and Carly, what is your only comfort in life and in death? The answer to that question, as we have it in the Catechism, really gets at the essence of what confession of faith is all about. Yes, it's true that those three questions are of a different nature and they're good questions. But when it comes right down to it, confession of faith is exactly this. Saying before God, saying before the church, and saying before the entire world, I, Macy, I, Carly, belong in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It doesn't get more appropriate to consider for a confession of faith than these words of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 1. It's appropriate from the point of view of the content of Lord's Day 1, but it's appropriate as well when you broaden your perspective and see that this is the Heidelberg Catechism that we are talking about. Lord's Day 1 is introductory in nature. We know that. Lord's Day 1 sets the theme for the entire catechism. What we have in Lord's Day 1 is a summary of the content of the entire Heidelberg Catechism. So that if you say, I believe in the truth in Lord's Day 1, what you're saying is, I believe in the truth of the entire Heidelberg Catechism. And it's appropriate to see the confession of faith in light of that. In light of this entire document that we call the Heidelberg Catechism. Especially when you consider one of the questions that they answered tonight. The question that they believe the doctrine taught in this Christian church to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation. Well, as a church, what is the doctrine that we confess? What is our understanding of the truth of God's Word? It's summarized right here in the other two confessions, but also this confession, the Heidelberg Catechism. To see that, all you need to do is look at the different words that are used to describe what this document is, to see the connection between confession of faith and this document, the Heidelberg Catechism. The Heidelberg Catechism, in the first place, is a creed. A creed literally is that which you believe. Creed literally means I believe. When we look at the Heidelberg Catechism and say this is the creed to which we hold, as these young ladies did tonight, what they are saying is this is what I believe. There are all sorts of explanations of the Scriptures. What is summarized here is my belief concerning the truth of the Word of God, who God is, and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the second place, the Heidelberg Catechism can be referred to as a confession. And a confession takes that one step further and emphasizes the fact that this is what we speak. I believe it in my heart, and so important is it to me that now I'm going to speak it, make it known to my fellow saints and to the world all around me. And then in the third place, the Heidelberg Catechism can be referred to as a symbol. That's a little bit less known than a creed and a confession, but nonetheless, that's what creeds are also referred to as, symbols. In seminary, the class on the confessions is called Reformed Symbols. A symbol is what stands as a representation of something else. It points to something else. The flag, for example, of our country is a symbol. When you look at the flag, what is pictured in all of that are all of the citizens of the United States of America. The Heidelberg Catechism is a symbol in this respect. It stands as a banner over which all those who believe it stand. We stand united with those churches and those saints who say, yes, I believe in the truth of the Heidelberg Catechism. That's what these ladies did tonight. They said, this is what I believe. So much do I believe it that I'm going to confess it as they did tonight. And when I do confess that, what I am doing is standing, not alone, standing with my fellow saints right now and my fellow saints throughout all of history, the Reformation Church out of which this catechism arose, but even further back than that, as it has in it the Apostles' Creed, the Church of all ages. I say again, we cannot find a more appropriate word to consider than this word at the occasion of confession of faith. Let's look at this tonight using as our theme, confessing to belong to Jesus. The three points that we take note of tonight are my loving Savior, my only comfort, and my sovereign God. Confessing to belong to Jesus, my loving Savior, my only comfort, and my sovereign God. Undoubtedly, it's been the case for all of us that we have heard someone say to us, I'm praying for you. Undoubtedly, it's the case for all of us that we have said to other people, I'm praying for you. It's part of what it means to be in the church. We have fellow saints who care for one another, who pray for one another, who bring our needs before the throne of grace. What is less likely is that when someone said to you, I'm praying for you, what they did was go on to explain precisely what they're praying for. And what's less likely is probably that you've done that. When you say to someone not simply, I'm praying for you as you go through your difficulty, but this is my prayer specifically for you. Well, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did at the end of Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, he writes the saints in Ephesus, and he doesn't simply say, I'm praying for you. He does say that. That's verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm praying for you. But what the Apostle Paul does is go on to lay out very specifically his desire for those saints in the church in Ephesus. He makes it clear to him the content of the prayers that he was going to offer to God as he was in prison. Verse 16, this is what he prayed for. That God would grant those saints, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He prayed that they would live out of the power of God's Spirit in their hearts. This is what he prayed for and made known to them. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. This is what he prayed for them. Verses 18 and 17, or 18 and 19 rather, that they would be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of Jesus for them. Macy and Carly, this is the prayer that has been offered for you guys for many, many years. The essence of this prayer is the content of Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. To put it differently, what Paul was praying for those saints is that they would know, that they would experience, that they would live out of the power of belonging to their faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this prayer that's been offered to you, for many, many years. Right at the beginning, probably in the hospital, when your mom and dad held you in their arms, they prayed for your physical well-being. But what is more, they prayed for this, that God would work powerfully in your life so that you would know the love of God in Jesus Christ. This is the prayer that grandparents have made on your behalf. This is the prayer that elders and pastors and friends and loved ones have made on your behalf. That you would experience and live out of the power of belonging to Jesus. Praise be to God this evening that those prayers have been answered. Praise be to God this evening that the will of their parents and the will of the church, who has a concern for the next generation of the church, the desire that they would belong and know the love of Jesus, has been the will of God with respect to these two young ladies. Because tonight, in their public confession of faith, and what stands behind that is the confession that they made to the elders in the consistory room, indicates this is true, that they know what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Jesus for them. That the inner man is strengthened by the Spirit of Jesus Christ that is in them, so that they go forward desirous to live according to God's ways. They confessed this evening that they belong to Jesus, the heart of the confession of Lord's Day 1. And so what we need to do now is see what is wrapped up in that fundamental confession of belonging to Jesus. And it's not just for them tonight, it's for all of us who love Lord's Day 1 and who take the words of Lord's Day 1 upon our lips and believe them in our hearts. Belonging to Jesus means, in the first place, that Jesus Christ is your loving Savior. Of all of the things that the Heidelberg Catechism could have said about Jesus, and there are many things that you could say Jesus is, He's a friend, He's Christ, He is your Lord. Of all of those things, what the Heidelberg Catechism says about Jesus is this: He's Savior. That I, if you take away all the modifiers, belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Belonging to Jesus, first and foremost, means that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Savior from the thing that we need salvation from more than anything else, not a man or an enemy on this earth, but the reality of sin against which we battle every single day. The Catechism uses the adjective faithful. I change that adjective to loving. And the reason I change that has to do with what we have in Ephesians chapter 3, because what the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, when it comes down to it, is the love of Jesus. That they would know the height and the breadth and the length and the depth of the love of Jesus Christ who dwells in them. And that love of Jesus shows itself, especially in the fact that He is Savior. You want to see the love of Jesus? Go to one place. Go to Calvary. You want to experience this immeasurable, that's the point, you can't comprehend the height and the length and the breadth and the depth of the love of Jesus? Go to one place. Go to Calvary. On Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ showed Himself not only to be a Savior, but He showed Himself to be a loving Savior, taking upon Himself all of our sins, the sins that we know we are guilty of, bearing their wrath and their punishment, so that we, by God's grace, one day will not have to, but enjoy the riches of glory in heaven. What does Jesus Himself say in John 15, verse 13? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In question and answer 1, explaining the heart of what it means that Jesus is Savior, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins. Confessing to belong to Jesus means, in the first place, that you believe Jesus to be your loving Savior. In the second place, confessing to belong to Jesus means that you make a confession concerning yourself. And that confession concerning yourself is this: I am nothing but, in and of myself, a wretched, damn worthy sinner. That's wrapped up in making the first confession. If you say concerning Jesus, He is my Savior, my loving Savior, a love that is unbelievable, expressed on the cross of Calvary, it necessitates you saying this about yourself. I'm nothing. I'm a sinner. And I know the greatness and the depth of that sin. That's why in the Catechism, in order to enjoy the comfort of belonging to Jesus, what do we need to know? We need to know that very fact, how great our sins and our miseries are. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, the end of that chapter, does not specifically mention this point, but it stands behind everything that he says. Well, he does say about himself, "Unto me who am the less than the least of all saints is this grace given," and that's the confession we must all make. That's the confession of saying who we are by nature as sinners. But what he says at the end of the chapter that we've been talking about doesn't say specifically anything about this second point that we are making. But it stands behind everything that he does say. Why is it Paul's prayer that they would be strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit of God? Why is it Paul's prayer that they would know and comprehend the amazing love of Jesus? Why was it the prayer of your parents that you would belong in body and soul to Jesus Christ? It's because Paul and your parents and every one of us knows who we are by nature. Your parents knew that you were conceived and born in sin. And therefore, this is the prayer that you would know and experience the love of belonging to Jesus. Making a confession that you belong to Jesus means that you say concerning yourself one word, sinner. This is the connection to the fact that tonight is also preparatory. In order to properly partake of the Lord's Supper, this is exactly what we need to know. And this is exactly what we need to do in this week. If we're going to come to the table of our Lord in the right way next week, Sunday morning, the Lord willing, it's this fact that needs to be impressed upon our hearts and our souls. We know ourselves in its depth as sinners. Confessing to belong to Jesus means, in the third place, that you desire to go forth living for the sake of Jesus Christ, to His glory and to His honor. That's the end of the Heidelberg Catechism. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. That's the word of the Apostle Paul, his first petition for them, that they would be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man so that they could do this. It's not just the words that you speak. And you guys need to know that. It's very easy to say this. It's very easy for all of us to say, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That confession requires more. And what it requires is this. In all of my walk, it doesn't matter what I am doing, when I'm by myself, when I'm with my friends, when I'm with my significant other, when it's Monday night or when it's Friday night or when it's Sunday, this is the desire of my heart, that I live my life not for myself. I give my life for my Savior, Jesus Christ, striving to live out of the power of His Spirit in me according to His Word that He has given to us. You confess to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means you know Him as your loving Savior. It means you know yourself as a terrible sinner. And it means that you purpose to walk in all things according to God's ways. And that confession that we belong to Jesus Christ is our only comfort. Lord's Day 1, is of such a nature that every word seems to be filled with significance. You can read it very carefully and gain so much from almost every single word that is mentioned in this question and answer. What we highlight now is the fact that belonging to Jesus is our only comfort in life and in death. That's in the question, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? This is one of the reasons that we love the Heidelberg Catechism. We love it because it looks at the truth of God's Word, looks at our salvation in Jesus Christ from a very personal, experiential point of view. It's just not abstract dogma, but it gets to the heart and soul of what it means to be a man or a woman or a child here on this earth. And nowhere does that more clearly come across than in this first Lord's Day, question and answer one. By looking at the whole truth of God's work of saving us in Jesus Christ from the point of view of comfort. Because the fact of the matter is that we need comfort. Psalm 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And it's the presence of those afflictions that are many that necessitate every single day needing comfort. And what the Catechism teaches us, and what we know by experience, is that our only comfort is to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the affliction of sin. Every day, reckoning with the fact that I am a sinner, not independent of anyone else or independent of God, but a sinner who stands in the presence of a holy, just God. In light of that affliction, we need comfort. But it's more than that. It's the trials of this life that we endure. It's the physical sicknesses that we experience. You guys right now are in the strength of your youth, but that's not the case for all of us. Some of us do experience day by day those physical infirmities which lead to having a need for comfort. We all go through struggles in this life. Go through the struggle of relationship difficulties, being sinned against, struggling to understand things in this life. We need comfort. We go through the difficulty of having what may be a very burning desire in our hearts made known to us that it's not God's desire in His will. We may have the desire to be married, to be a wife, but God makes it clear for this time that that's not His will. We may have a desire, if we are married, to have children or to have more children, and God makes it very clear at this time that's not His will. In the midst of those struggles and difficulties, what do we need but comfort? Comfort is to know that all is well. Comfort is to know that though I may be going through this very difficult situation, God comes to me and says, my son, my daughter, all is well. There's peace and even joy in the midst of the struggle that you are going through. Our only comfort, the only thing that in the midst of anything that we are going through that allows us to say all is well, is this: I belong to Jesus. We're tempted to find that comfort in everything else. And the devil is intent on trying to get us to seek that comfort in everything else. Macy and Carly, you need to know that plans are being fabricated right now by the devil to get them to lead away from this confession and lead away from this comfort, as there are plans for all of us to get us away from this. We can find our comfort in all of the things of this world, all of the pleasures of this world, through the difficulties we go through. Instead of fleeing to Jesus, we flee to the pleasures of this world, and we need to fight against that so much because of the culture we live in. Just even in the way that we talk about the weak, What's the week all about? It's all about getting through Monday through Friday when we have to work, the hardships of working, so that we can have the pleasure of Friday night and Saturday when we don't have to work. We find our joy and our peace. We find ourselves able to say all is well in the things of this world. And we could go on and on and on about things that we try to use as replacements for the only thing that in the midst of difficulty allows us to say all is well, and that is Jesus Christ and belonging to Him. It's not just pleasure. It's not just things that we can be tempted to find our comfort in. It's also in ourselves. And that especially in light of the affliction of sin. There's always something in us that in order to find comfort in the fact that I am a sinner goes back to ourself. So that instead of taking all of that sin and going to the cross of Christ where there is salvation, we look to ourselves, and in order to appease our minds, to make ourselves feel better about what we are going through, we try to do better. We try to do this work, or we try to do that work. The devil comes to us and says, Carly, Macy, do more on yourself. Nate, do more on yourself to get away from the guilt of sin instead of going to Jesus. All you have to do is think about, for example, Martin Luther. Martin Luther, who tried everything. The devil who went to him day after day, Martin, do this, Martin, do that. Try to get that guilt removed from you. None of it worked. There was no comfort. There was no peace. This is the only thing. Our only comfort, the only thing that allows us to say it is well, is the fact that we belong to Jesus. Why? In the first place, because Christ is the only one that can deal with that sin. There is one man that can redeem us from the power and the guilt and the consequences of sin, and that's Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That was as true as the day and the day that He said it as it is true today. There is one way to Jehovah God. There is one way in order to remove the guilt and the power and the consequences of sin. The way is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the second place, Christ is our only comfort, because the only one that can control all things and govern all things for our good and salvation is Jesus. I was struck by that this week when I was reading some things for this sermon. Comfort is not knowing that in the midst of a difficulty there is someone else who has more power than the one who may be giving you this burden or this difficulty. You're going through a struggle. The devil is at work in your life. But you need to know this. There's one that's more powerful, Jesus Christ. That's not comfort. Because the fact of the matter is that one still has power and influence. And there's still the presence of that burden. True comfort is this. Knowing that there is a Lord in heaven who is controlling all of the things that we go through, even the powers of darkness, and in His wisdom, using them for our salvation, so that it doesn't matter the difficulty we are going through. I can say this concerning that. It is subservient to my salvation. A beautiful phrase in the Catechism that we all know by heart. The fact that belonging to Jesus Christ means that He is using everything to serve our salvation. There's only one that can do that. There's only one that does do that. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the third place, belonging to Jesus is our only comfort, because only in Jesus can we live happily, but also die happily. It's very much possible to live happily without Jesus. at least on the surface, have the appearance of being happy and having joy in this life. Go walk the streets of Grand Rapids, go walk the campus of Grand Valley, and ask people, are you happy? And you can find many a person who have never set foot in a Christian church answer that question, yes. Very happy. Have a good job. Making good money. Have a family. Enjoying my children and my grandchildren. Enjoying the things of this earth. I'm living happily. It's altogether possible to live happily without Jesus. It's impossible to die happily without Jesus. And for that reason, beloved, He is our only comfort. As all of us one day will face that last enemy, death, the only way to face that, without fear and terror, but instead with peace and contentment and even joy, is to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're talking about death on the occasion of a confession of faith as these young ladies are in the strength of their youth. But we don't talk about it as the king of terrors, like Job says. We talk about it because of this point, the fact that belonging to Jesus allows us to live and die happily. Confessing to belong to Jesus means that we have a loving Savior. It means that we have an only comfort. And it means, last, that we have a sovereign God. What took place tonight, and what takes place every single time someone by faith says and believes and lives according to the truth of Lord's Day 1, is nothing less than a divine miracle. These two that made confession of faith will attest to that, and every single one of us can attest to that. The fact that I can say, in life and in death, I belong to Jesus Christ, is altogether attributed to the sovereign God that is ours. Sovereign God is on display in so many different ways this evening. There's no better time to confess the sovereignty of God than an occasion like this. Leads us to see the fact that God was sovereign in the creation of us, the giving of physical life. God was sovereign in the recreation, the implanting of the spiritual life of Christ. God was sovereign in executing what He decreed in all eternity, the way of salvation, sending Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. God is sovereign in working that faith, so that they said the words that they said this evening, and so that we say the words of Lord's Day 1. God is sovereign to preserve us in that salvation to the day that we die. God is sovereign to bring us into all eternity. One who truly understands what it means to belong to Jesus confesses, "This is my God, sovereign God of all of my salvation." Truly, our God is the God of Ephesians 3, verse 20. The God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You look at the world in which we live, the darkness of this world causes shivers to go up and down your back. You consider the devil and his hosts and the power that they have. It causes you to tremble. I consider the weakness of the sermons preached and the catechism's lessons taught and the counsel that may have been given. And it can cause you to weep. Parents, consider the weakness of the many years of raising their children. They can look back on all the years that they raised you and probably remember the mistakes better than the things they did right. Truly, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Tonight, beloved, it is a display of our sovereign God's work. Say together with me, in your hearts, this beautiful confession concerning God, praising His name. For what we witness tonight, praising His name, for what he does for all of us as members of his church. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for this word, but we thank thee for thy work especially, thy work of working powerfully in us, thy Spirit, so that we know and belong in body and in soul, in life and in death, to our faithful and loving Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt continue to bless these young ladies that made this confession of faith, and bless us all as we strive to live according to this confession that we hear in Lord's Day 1. We pray these things for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.